Okay, what we say today's daf is daf kuf yud. We're starting the Mishnah at the very top of the Amid. Look, the Mishnah. Ha muitzi shtar chuiv al chaveray. Reuven goes and shows Shimon, you owe me money. Here is the loan document. Here's the note. V'haloi, and then Shimon in turn, hoitzi, he takes out his own document that shows Shemochalo yesasada. That Reuven that says that Shimon owes him money, subsequently sold him a field, and he received the money for the field from Shimon. So what's the shaila over here? Adman oimer, yochalu shi oimer, ilu hayisi chayiv lecha, hoy lecha li para eshelcha, kishemachart li esasada. Let's assume that the two amounts are exactly the same. He borrowed from him $1 million. And now, a year later, he sold to him a property worth $1 million. If, in fact, this note is still outstanding and it's still bona fide and they owe you $1 million, why did you give me the field? You should have said, oh, you have $1 million to pay for the field. Let me take that $1 million, pay off the choiv, and then we'll talk about selling fields. The fact that you sold me a field and you took the money and you didn't use that to retire the debt is a charai that there was no debt and that either this shtar was already paid from before or the whole thing is a fraud, that it's mizuyah. No, it's the other way around. The malva was very smart. Meaning that the loive unfortunately had no kark. However, the malva thought and assumed that the loive has plenty of cash stashed away under his mattress or somewhere, and he doesn't want to reveal where it is. So now when I come to him and say, no, pay off the debt, Chodnish, I have nothing. Where's Karka? I have no Karka, I have nothing. Gunish mitkul. She says, you know what? He went and tricked him by going and selling to him this field. By selling to him this field, he, number one, gets paid. You can look upon this as payment for the purchase of the field. And now, guess what? The loiva owns now property. So the malva goes back to him a month later and says to him, oh, you got property. Meaning the malva's former field that he sold to the loiva. Now he can go and take that as the payment on his loan. So therefore, says Chum, there was really a note, and the whole purpose of the sale was to reveal and disclose the assets of the loiva. Now the loiva has come in and he's given him the money to go and buy that field. So now the cash he has. Now the question is, what about payment for the note? Oh, now he has karka. I'm going to go and grab that karka for purposes of...
Sugar to him, though.
Why is that sugar?
Well, because at the time of the loan, he didn't have the karka, so there was, he had no sugar.
All that type of svaras only vis-a-vis lekuchais, if he subsequently sold it. But anything that the loiva holds at the time of the maturity date or post-maturity date, at any time, you have cash, you have metalzalin, you have karkois, whatever you got, use it to pay off the loan. Zokimar, my time at the Rabbanan, Shapik Omer Admoin, L'choira, Admoin is correct. When Admoin said that if I was really owed you the money, as soon as the purchaser, which is the loiva, hand over the cash, he should take the cash and run and take all of the closing documents and throw them into the garbage and say, we're done, I'm not selling you anything. This was all a ruse to go and get paid on the note. The fact that he did not do that, but rather he consummated the sale, l'choy is the charaya to Admoin that in fact that original note was a nullity, either that it had already been paid or the whole thing was mizuyah in the first place. Ever the Gemara, you have a good point. Now there are two minhagim, tells the Gemara. Be also in those places do you have izuzi, behold the kasvi shtara. Things don't happen mamish simultaneously. Something has to happen one first, and then something has to happen second. So what happened? Was it the cash that goes and transfers from hand to hand first, and then the other person goes and takes the document, or no'al godar uparatz koshu, he does a chazok in the karka, or the other way around? We first allow him to go and get the document of sale, and or the plowing the field or whatever he does, and then he pays over the cash. This says Igmar, be asked in those places the Havi Zuzan, you give the money first, Vahod the Kasvi Shtar, and then you sign the Shtar and hand it over. Kuliamu pligi, then everybody would agree to Matsi Omulai, Hoyucha Lefroya Esholcha Kishamachartali Esasada. They would say exactly like Admoin said, you're a nar. Why are you going and selling a property? As soon as you got the money, take that money, use it to pay off the note, and say, the deal is off. I'm not giving you a shtar, I'm not allowing you into my field. This is all a ruse to go and get the money. So therefore, everybody would agree that in such a situation, since the person did not do that, he allowed the sale to go through, then Chayda Admin is right. Yochu Shaymar, if you were Taka, if I, the Loiva says to the mother, if I owed you the money, then why didn't you take the money and run? By the fact that you sold me the field, is the chassimin that that note had really been paid or was meaningless. So where's the Machlokes completely asked the Kas Mishtara, Vahodi Yavi's Uzi? First they allow the transfer of the property and they register it or whatever, and only after that does he pay him the money. Now in this case, you cannot go and say, oh, take the money and run. It's already too late. He had already sold the property because he already had the shtar. So Admin Sovri Iboyulele Mimser Moidor says, Admin, if this was just a ruse to be able to go and get the funds, then if that's the case, he should have been Moiser Moidor. What means Moiser Moidor? That any time a person wants to go and sell a piece of property or enter into any type of transaction, but he's doing it under duress. He doesn't really want to do it, but he doesn't have a choice because of the circumstances. Here, this person says Admin to the Chacham, you're telling me that the reason why the Malveh entered in this transaction is because, not that he really wanted to go and sell the property, but rather he wanted to reveal where the assets are, so he would afterwards be able to go and take the property away as payment for his loan. Then this individual should have gone over to Tuadim and whispered in their ears, the reason why I'm going ahead with this sale is not because I want to sell it. I love this property. This property is great. I'm just doing this as a ruse to be able to subsequently get paid on my loan. The fact that he didn't do that, says Admin, is a simon that the Chachamim are wrong, that he didn't do it because of Pikchus, but rather because the old note was meaningless, was worthless, had been paid, and therefore this is a real bona fide sale after all. Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan say, you know why he wasn't Moisra Maidor? Because there is nothing totally confidential in this world. Anything and everything that transpires eventually sees the light of day. But in Sabri, Chavra, Chavra, Islay, Chavra, 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 Islay. Once you're going to go be Moisa Maidor in front of two Adam, the word is going to get out. And the word is going to get back to the Moicher. And the Moicher says, oh, he's timing this, it's under duress, and he doesn't really want to go and sell it. Ah, you know, I'll show him. And he's not going to go and sell it to him at all because of these charges. See, Rashi says, Tavra Islay, Chavra Islay, I'm sorry, is a trash of Yodi'uhu, as soon as he hears that the Moicher is telling to Adam, I'm being Moisa Maidor, I'm doing this under duress because I don't really want to go and sell it, but I want to use this as a ruse to go and reveal the assets and get the money back afterwards and get the property back afterwards, this word will get back to the loive, the purchaser, and guess what? He'll say, oh, I'm not going ahead, I'm not coming to the closing, I'm staying home, I'm not going to give the money, I'm not going to participate, because he knows that this is just a ruse to get the money from him, and after that the Moicher is going to take the property back.
So the Rabbanan, they never hold of Moser Moidor then, because they're always worried about the...
That's a good question, whether they hold throughout the Kodesh Kulev or Moser Moidor, Veisomish. Our Gemara today, and we had this Gemara
earlier
yesterday, also about the Indian Moser Moidor,
right.
But whether that you would say that he holds Kodesh Kulev, Veisomish, but at least in these situations. Okay, so Shnaim Shtar Choiv. This is similar or parallel to the previous Mishnah. Two people have notes. The Malveh has a note against the Loiveh, and the Loiveh has a note against the Malveh. In other words, both of them are both Malvim and Loivim at the same time under two different notes. Let's assume that both notes are the same amount. Admin Oimer Ilo Ha'isi Chayvel Chokitzet At Loivim Mimeni. So Admin says, your note, the first note, where the Malveh says to Loiveh, hey, you owe me money. He says, mister, I paid you on that note, or that note is a fraud. Because if this note was outstanding, why would you subsequently go and borrow money from me? You should have gone and taken and say, gotta go and pay me on this note, and then I would have paid you. Is the chassimun that first note is gunish mit gunish, and the real note is the second note, my note. Ilu ho'isi chayav l'choy, if I was chayav to you money, why are you borrowing money from me? You should have said, mister, pay me on my note. It's the chassimun that first note is good. No, the chassimun say, each note is assumed to be a kosher note, he's going to be goyve his, he's going to be goyve his. And the Gemara is going to say, if they're both the same amount,
they cancel out.
Exactly. What's the purpose? It just net out. So the Gemara is going to talk about that. So Gemara. Itma. Our case. Shlaim shetziyu shtachoyiv zeal zeh. Rav Nachman omar zeh goyiv zeh goyiv. Rav Nachman is word for word like the Chachomim of our Mishnah. Zeh goyiv shtar, zeh goyiv shtachoyiv. Rav Sheishis omar hafuchi matar to gomali. This is an expression. The word matarta means burdens or loads. Why would you go and just switch the loads around? So Rashi gives us an example, a person who is walking down the street and he's carrying two heavy bags, two heavy loads. So as you, I'm sure all of you have had this occur to you in the past, sometimes one of them is heavier than the other, and therefore the right arm starts getting a little bit weakened, fatigue, and the left arm is still strong, so then you go and switch it around. So now the other one has the heavier one, and you'll do this for a block, and then you might go and switch it a few times, back and forth. But that's only if one of the two bags is heavier than the other. If both of them are exactly the same, what have you accomplished? You take the right hand and you give the right bag to the left, and the left to the right. They're exactly the same. So says Rav Sheshi, same thing over here. If the debts are exactly the same, $1 million each, why should he pay him $1 million and then he give him back $1 million? Hold on to your $1 million and finish. So each one should hold on to their own money. Ella, says Rav Sheshi, just hold on to your own funds and finish. Obviously, if the amounts are not exactly the same principle will continue to apply. Instead of this being goy for the entire shtar, this being goy for the entire shtar, just net out whatever the amount. If this is $1 million, this is 1.2. The one that holds the million shouldn't go and pay, and the other guy should give him 200,000. So, zoyim b'shalay, zoyim b'shalay. That's the machlokes of Nachman Rav Sheshi. Now the Gemara tries to narrow the machlokes. The kuli alma idius the idius bainness or bainness ziburius or ziburius vadi afuchim etar to who? If both of them, as you know, when it comes to a balchayim, assuming that there's no cash available, so now each one has to go and pay in karka. When it comes to balchayim, the karka that you pay is bainness. When it comes to exuba, it's ziburius, and if you're talking about a mazik chasar sholem, then you have to go and pay the idius meitav sederu meitav yishalom. Anyway, so if both of them have exactly the same quality of karkois, this one has idiots, this one has idiots, this is bainis, this is bainis, this is buris, this is buris, vali bukwantartahu, then it would be ridiculous for each one. We're assuming that each one only has one property. Reuven has one idiot, and Shimon has one idiot, or he has one bainis, he has one bainis. So what's going to happen? So the Bezin is going to go and say, okay, each one of you owe. Reuven, you give your property idiots to Shimon. What does Shimon have to do? He's going to give his idiots back to Reuven. Or Reuven's going to give bainness, he's going to give him back bainness. So nefuch matar tolami, what do you need that for? Go back and forth, it's ridiculous. Ah, keep believing it was a machlik, is isle l'chad bainness l'chad ziburius. Ooh, one of the two has a bainness, and the other one has a ziburius. So now what happens? So we have a machlikis now, what do you hold? Bishaloi hein shaman, or bishel kol odam hein shaman? Which means, Bishal Kolodim means when you talk about Ziburius and Beinonis, you do it based on the universe. What do people think of a particular property? Is this property a grade A, grade B, grade C, etc.? Or Bishaloy and Shaman means, I don't care about the world. We look subjectively at that particular individual. What is that property vis-a-vis what other properties he has? As he more explains. So one of them has bainis, Reuven has bainis, and Shimon has ziburius. So Rav Nachman Sova, zeh goyva, zeh goyva. Just like Rav Nachman said on the Mishnah, each one is going to be goyva. Kosover, bishaloi hein shaman. We look subjectively at that person. And therefore, ozi bal ziburius. Let's assume the bal ziburius is the first one that comes on the scene. And now he demands payment. The other says, I have no money. Okay, I'll take your karka. The only karka that he has is bainis, the gobel of the bainis. So now, where are we at this point? The one that previously owned Beninus owns nothing now. That was his only property. He owns nothing. The other fellow that previously only had Ziburius is now both Beninus and Ziburius. So now, although in terms of the world at large, the Beninus property is a grade B or a class B property. No question. It's Beninus. However, the Havigabay, since we Shaloi Hein Shaman, vis-a-vis this individual, this Beinonis happens to be
the best he got.
The best he has. That's his idiot. For Asahu, Bishokel Ziburius. And then the other person cannot take his idiot, which was his former property, his former Beinonis. Why? Because that's his idiot. So therefore he takes the Ziburius. Ah, so now I understand why, according to the Machman, Zeh Goyve, because it would make a nafkemina. The one that was previously the owner of the Ziburius is now going to end up owning the Beininus, and the one that previously owned the Beininus is now going to end up owning the Ziburius. So it makes sense to go through this whole mechanic. Rav Sheshi Zomar, Avuch Matar Talamali. Why? Because we don't look at him individually, we look at the world at large. And therefore, Saif, Kiyosi Hahu, Beinis, Tanavshei, Kashakal. Meaning, let's start the case like we started before. The Baal Ziburis is going to go and take away the Beinis. And now he's going to own both Beinis and Ziburis. Now the other fellow is going to say, give me back my Beinis. What do you mean? For me, that's hideous. I don't care about for you. Bishol Kaladam ain't shaman. I look at the world at large. The world at large, you look at your property, it's a Beinis property. It's not a triple A fantastic property. It's a Zashvach, it's a middle type of property. It's a Beinis. So I'm going to take away the Beinis. So if that's the case, the Beinis person paid Beinis. He takes back the Beinis. Why are you wasting your time going through these acrobatics? Take tomorrow. Rav Nachman, my chosity, osi bal ziburis bereisha, leisi bal beinis bereisha. The whole reason why you said according to Rav Nachman, ze goyve, because it's going to make enough gemina. The bal ziburis are going to come first. He's going to go and collect the beinis. The other fellow will not be able to take back the beinis because now it's been upgraded to idias. So he's going to get the ziburis. Oh, that all made sense. But for tomorrow, maybe we should do it in reverse. Not that the Baal Ziburis came first, but the Baal Beinis came first. Rav Nachman, my choset, the Osi Baal Ziburis Bereisha, Lazy Baal Beinis Bereisha. Let the Baal Beinis come first. What is he going to collect? The Velik Ziburis. There's nothing else. It's only Ziburis. So the Beinis guy is going to go and take the Ziburis. Velaheder, Velik Nile. And now the other person is going to go and collect from him. What is he going to go and collect from him? According to Rav Nachman, Bishaloi Hein Shaman. So this person, Leisei Baal Beinis Pereisha, Veligvi Ziburius, the Baal Beinis is going to go and take the Ziburius. The former Baal Ziburius is going to want to collect now. What is he going to have to go and take? Vlehed Veligvi Minei, he's going to go and take back his Ziburius. And therefore, because it's Bishaloi Hein Shaman, he can't go and take the Beinis, because the Beinis happens to be
the better
one, the idiot. So he Bazoi, according to Rav Nachman, what have we accomplished? The Baal Ziburius is going to go and take, start again, the Baal Beinis is going to come Bereisha, he's going to go and take the Ziburius, the Baal Ziburius is going to go and take back the same
very
Ziburius.
Same field.
And so now we're back to Hafuchim Atarat Alamali. So you're right, in the case where the Baal Ziburius comes first, then it will make an upgrade.
Because he gets an upgrade in quality of property.
Exactly. But in the case where the Baal Beinis comes first,
there's no point.
No point. So, Nachamu, Hafuchim Atarat. So what the Gemara means to say is, how can you say that Rav Nachman, Zegoyva, it really depends who's first and who's second. It really depends on the situation. It's talking about that our Mishnah and this whole discussion is that the Baal Ziburius was the one that brought the action in court first, and so therefore that's why he collects first. What is he going to collect? He's going to collect the Beinis, like we said before. After when you go to court, the plaintiff first presents his complaint, and then of course the defendant has to go and give his response as well as whatever counterclaim. So now we're going to have in front of the Bezin two claims. It's true the plaintiff came first, but his shtar says you owe me money, and that of the defendant says my shtar says that you owe me money. So now when it comes decision time, we're no longer going to give preference to the plaintiff vis-a-vis the defendant just because he was the one that brought the case. Now we have to decide both claims. And therefore, Kiyos and the Migvi, well, now we're going to be going to Maria Dodikosu. So why do you go and say that the Ziburius guy gets first and therefore there'll be an upgrade? Maybe the Beinis guy gets first. A different fact pattern. One of them has Idias or Beinis. The other one has only Ziburius. So now, Marasav Bishol Hein Shaman, or Marasav Bishol Kaladim Hein Shaman. So Yomar doesn't really go into the details, but what happens is, the Idias and Bein in this person, he has Idias and Bein, he's going to go and collect from the other guy. The only thing that there's to collect is Ziburius. So he's going to go and now have all three, Idias, Beinis, and Ziburius. What is the other fellow who previously owned Ziburius going to do? He's going to go and take the Bein in this. Oh, so therefore there has been an upgrade after all. And that's why Rav Nachman says, Zeh goyve, because after the idis of Bain, this guy takes the ziburis, he'll have all three, and then the other person, when he's taking back, he's going to take back Bainis, because of the fact that he has now all three idis, Bainis, ziburis. So if under those circumstances, Mar Sova Bishalay Hein Shamin, since the first man, the Yoma, that is Rav Nachman, says Yehov Bishalay, so he takes ziburis because that's all he has, the other one's going to give him back the Bainis, so he has profited. That we're going to go and look at the world at large. And therefore the world at large is that the Beinonis is Beinonis. And therefore he's going to take the Beinonis. So what's enough Kimina?
Right, because either Beshalohin Shaman or Beshalohin Shaman, the Zaburis guy gets an upgrade either way.
Yeah, you're right.
So what does it matter if that's the fact pattern, then the Zaburis guy gets a better deal at the end.
Excellent. So let's look at Rashi. Maris of Beshalohin Shaman. You see,
Rashi?
Yeah, that's 3 lines later. Why? The Manifshah. He could Ravcha Lebal Ziburis.
Right.
The Ichavri Kodim Bereisha, if the other person who owns the Ilias and Beinis comes first, the Govi, and he collects
the Ziburis from him.
So Ikagabe, now he has Ilias and Beinis Ziburis. Umegvi Leheich Beinis. And now the other person is going to be able to take back Beinis. The EU Kodim. And now what happens if it's the other way around?
The Bal Ziburis comes first.
Ichavri, right? If the Bal Ziburis comes first, the Govi Beinis, Havi Gabei Idias, he is going to have Idias with him, Umegvi Lechavrei Ziburis, and the other person is going to only be able to take the Ziburis and not the Beinis, because the Beinis for him, since it's the Shaloi Hen Shaman, is going to come Idias. So in this situation, he has profited. In other words, regardless of who comes first, let's start again the Rashi. What happens if the Baal Idias and Beinis got first? And he gets now the Ziburis. He has all three. Now the other person is going to go and take back Bishaloi Hein Shamin. He's going to go and take back Beinis. Right? So the Ziburis guy has got an upgrade. Good. What happens if the other way around? If the Ziburis guy goes and collects first, he's going to go and collect
the Beinis.
The other person, so now he has Beinis and Ziburis. Since the Bishaloi Hein Shamin, his Beinis is like an idiot. Right. So the other person is going to go and take back the Ziburis.
Right.
So again, in this situation, there's been an upgrade. There's been a profit by the fact that we do Zeh Goyva. Right? It's not a meaningless gesture. But according to Bishal Oyla Main Shaman, so Trashikim Devadoni Asul Migli, Yavi Bezim Bainis Labal Ziburius Parasha, they're first going to go and give the Bainis to the Baal Ziburius, let him hold on, now he has Bainis and Ziburius, Vahod the Gobelemine, and then we're going to go and take it back. Why are we going to take it back? Because Bishal Oyla Main Shaman, it's a Bainis property. He's going to take it back. It's a Hafu Matatu, it's just going
in. It's meaningless.
It's meaningless. It's good. So until now we explained the parameters of the machloikis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. But now we're going to ask from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says very clearly, is the shver on Rav Sheshes and Tzerafuchim Atarti Lomali Arayi to Rav Nachman. Now, to go and show you the intellectual honesty and integrity of Rav Nachman could have said, you see, I win, ha ha ha. No, rather, take him out of the Rav Sheshes. He says, I'm going to give an answer for Rav Sheshes. Keep going. Our Mishnah is not talking about a situation where the properties are more valuable, less valuable, but rather we're talking about the length of the loan, the maturity date on the loan. You're going to love the Zeli Eser, the Zeli Chomish. The first of the two loans was a 10-year loan, and the second was a 5-year loan. Okay, so what difference does that make? Hey, Kedah, let's find out what the details are. Ilema Rishon the Eser, Vishen the Chomesh, like we just said, first has a 10-year, the second is a 5-year. Bahot Lema Admoin Ilu Hayisi Chayav Lecha, Keitzer Atalav Mimeni, Haloi Mota Zemane. So Rashi explains, it's talking about, let's say, that the second year of the first loan, right? The loan was for 10 years. After a year, the Malva goes to Loive and says, Loive, could you go and pay me back? I know you still have another 9 years to go. Can you pay me back? Why? I'm desperate. I need the money. So Loive says, listen, having money for 10 years, for me, that's fantastic because I invested in a 10-year bond or a 10-year deal, whatever. I really need it. But what I can do is I can go and lend you the identical amount back because Baruch Hashem, I made some cash over the last year. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to go and give it back to you. So therefore, the first one gave him a 10-year loan. In the second year, he takes now a 5-year loan back from the loive. And the reason why the loive gave him a 5-year loan instead of a 9 or 10-year loan is because the loive says, I hope within 5 years you'll be able to get back to your financial status and standing. And then after that, I'll be able to continue using your money for another 4 years. Because after all, it's a 10-year loan. And this is the second year of that 10-year period. I give you a 5-year loan, fine. He uses the money for 5 years, he gives it back to him. And then I'll have that money for another 4 years, from year 6 to year 10. So, l'chayra, that works very nicely. Back to the Gemara. Even the Rishon Esr, Rishon L'chomish, Bahol, in such a case, Bahol Lema Admoin, Ilo Hayisi Chayav Lecha, Keitzer Ata Lovim Mimeni, Haloi Matzes Mane. What was the taina in the Mishnah? Admoin says, in such a situation where each one takes out the note, and the two notes are identical in amount, but if they're different in maturity dates, how did Admoin say, Ilo Hayisi Chayav Lecha, if I owed you the money, Keitzer Ata Lovim Mimeni, why are you borrowing money? You should have demand that I go and pay. He couldn't demand that I should go and pay. It's only year two of a 10-year loan. So that wouldn't make sense. The first one was for 5 years and the second one for 10 years. And really this is lav dafka. You might only think chomish and eser because before we said eser and chomish. The ikar is the next. Hechidam. Idemot is mane. If this man of the first shtar has come, the maturity date has come. It's my time to rabbanu. So then admin is the maturity date has come. Why you now
net it out.
Exactly, go and instead if you don't even have to come on to the netting. If it's the maturity date of the very first one, why is he asking for a loan? He should go and say, pay up your note. What's going on over here? My turn about. If it's not maturity date yet on that first loan, so then this man hasn't come. So why is Admin screaming and saying, Michigana, why are you going and taking a new loan? Just tell him go and pay it. He doesn't have to pay yet. His maturity date is another 3, 4, 5 years to go. So, what's up? Loin tzricha. To asma hu yoima de mishlam chomesh. It's talking about that the maluva goes back to loiva and wants him to pay on the final day of the original loan. Now, that final day of the original loan is not to be confused with the day of collection. Because if it was a 5 year or a 10 year note, the 5 to 10 years ends. I have the right to hold on to that money for the 5 to 10 years. It's the next day where the Malva can say, no, the maturity date came and went yesterday. Now you got to go pay. Here, however, we're talking about it's the day before. It's the final day of the 5-year, 10-year note. On that final day, the Malva says to Loive, I need the money. The Loive says, sorry, I don't have the cash available. Mietchim, tomorrow I hope to have the money. And after all, I don't have to pay you today. Because this is still within the loan period.
Right.
But the Malva says, but I need the money desperately today because I have a closing this morning without the cash. I'm very sorry. I'm not going to go and pay up yet. I still have until tomorrow. So you know what? Do me a favor. Lend me the money on a new note. Now, does that make sense that a person should go and lend money? After all, we're really talking about a loan for a day.
Right.
Because tomorrow he has to go and pay him back.
Maripo.
So Timar Mars suffer of it inish to Yosef Lioime. Yeah, if a person is desperate, most people somehow or other they try to push the closing to the next day, they kratz together, they scrape the money together. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen every time. So sometimes a person goes and takes a note, even if it's going to be a short term loan, because tomorrow he has to pay me on my loan. Well, Mars suffer of it inish to Yosef Lioime. No, people don't do things like that. And somehow or other, he's going to go and push off the closing or whatever his need for the cash is. He'll borrow money from somebody else. He'll take money from his children's escrow account, whatever it is.
His credit card.
Exactly. Somehow or other, he's going to go and be able to do it. So you wouldn't find a one type of thing.
What's Yazif? Loshen Yazif. Is there a few
things? Yazif means to borrow. So now, getting back to our Mishnah. So that's the situation of our Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Shnayim Shitziu Shtar Choyv Zeh Al Zeh. The first one showing the maturity date, Lamusha of October 23, October 24. And the second one showing the very same date, also a new note. But the one that shows the maturity date of October 24, you can't collect on October 24. You can only collect it the day later, because you're entitled to hold on to the funds until the final moment, or the next day, 12:01, then you can start collecting. Oh, but you find on that very same date that he took a new loan in reverse. Right. The Malva took a loan from Leiva. Why would he do something like that? Zotach Abel Admoin in our Mishnah. Ilo Yisi Chayv Lechol Kitzat Tzolim Meni. Why would you go and take a brand new? Wait another day. Chum say, sometimes you can't wait a day. And therefore, Yosef Inish Yivin Lioime. And therefore, Zeh Goy V'Shach Goy V'Shach Goy V'Shach. this first star, the first note is kosher, the second note is kosher, and you have to go and pay in each one. Rabbi Bar Chama Omar, Rabbi Bar Chama says, I have a new teretz to fe'em for non-Rav Sheshes. Remember, Rav Sheshes said, why do you say Zegoy v'Zegoy? V'afuchem betar to Lamali, but our Mishnah says Zegoy v'Zegoy. So say, Rabbi Bar Chama, I have a new teretz. Rabbi Bar Chama Omar, Aucha b'yas miyaskinim. It's talking about that the Yisoyim, meaning that they're originally two individuals, Yankel and Beryl, and Reuben and Shimon, and each one was a malva and a loiva, because each one had a note, one in each direction. And here it's talking about that unfortunately one of the two loyalenu passed away, and therefore the Yisoyim never left. The Yasmi migva govi, the Yisoyim can be goiva from the other fellow, but Agvuyulem Agvinim and Ibi can be goiva from them. Now why could you go and be goiva from them? Because it's talking about that they didn't have any karkois, they only had metalkin. And we have a rule, the metalkin diasmi loy mishtabdi lebal choif. So therefore, even
claims
though...
claims are unequal.
The claims are not equal, otazai. Or the requirements to pay are not equal.
Right.
So therefore, the assignment go over to the other person, the bal choif, who, Baruch Hashem, is alive and kicking, no assignment involved, they can go and collect from him even cash, because after all, that was the shtar, that's the note, you got to go and pay me cash. If you don't have cash, then you go and give karka.
Of course, the karka.
However, in the case of the Yisoyim, all they had was cash, they didn't have any karka. So now when the other tzad wants to go and collect from them, sorry, I have no karka. Yeah, I have metalti. Metalti liyasmi lemishtabdi lebal choif. So that's why it says in the Mishnah, zeg goyve zeg goyve. The Yisoyim will be able to go and collect the karka from the other side. Right. The other side will not be able to be goyve from the Yisoyim anything. And that's why Zegova, Zegova.
It doesn't make sense, though.
Right.
Zegova, Zelogova.
Freight tomorrow.
What would be the other side?
Let's continue on. Zegova, Zegova, Victorani. Your kasha. Everything tomorrow. Zegova, Zegova, Ligvois, Veinlai. What it's telling us is, theoretically, in principle, each one should be able to be goyva one from the other.
Right.
That the Yisoyim should be able to goyva karka from the other one, and the other one should be able to be goyva karka from the Yisoyim. Unfortunately, in this case, the Yisoyim have no karka. No! But ze goyva, that's in principle the halacha, although in terms of the practicality, in fact, that's the reason why I don't say hafucha matarta, I say ze goyva, because here the Yisoyim will collect, and the other side, unfortunately, will not be able to collect. As a Zutima. Omer Rav. Rav, as you find very often, Shas was very makbid on the text. Very often you have Abaya says, no, sorry, Mechzer Bahochi Tony, you have to make an emendation. And Rav says, Lamaisa doesn't say that. So Omer Rav, Sheitchu is Bidab. First of all, Chodav Zegoy Vizegoy Tony. The Lashon doesn't lend itself to that Vizeroy Ligvois. Zegoy Vizegoy. The Oit, Ligvinu Arli Yasmi, for the head of Ligvinu, Minai Kirav Nachman. Well, what is the Gemara saying? It's taka true at the time the father passed away, he didn't own any karka. So the Yisoyim only had a talfin, but talfin yasmi, le mishtab le balchof. But now the Yisoyim all of a sudden did get a
karka, because they collected the karka from their balchof.
Oh, it's a zeis. Now the other side will be able to go and take it back. Yeah. Who said that? That's from Nachman. Yom Rav Nachman, Rabbi Ravu. Yisoyim shegovu karka b'choy b'saviyin, even though it wasn't there at the time of the patira of their father. But lemaisin, now they have karka. So then now you can have as a fuchim atarta situation. The Yisoyim are going to go and take the karka away from the Balchayim, and then the Balchayim says, oh, you got karka! And he's going to go and take it back. So therefore, that pshat lechayim doesn't work to fe'em for Rav Sheshes. His kasha is takishve. I have another way of perhaps being able to rehabilitate the teretz of Rabbi Bar Chama alib Rav Sheshes. V'loikma the islehu liyasmi zibuyas. The Yisoyim only have zibuyas. The Islay the Diday and the Balchoyv has Idius of Bainis. Aha, okay, so how does that help? The Azli Yasmi, Govu Bainis, they're going to go and collect Bainis from whom? From the other, from the Balchoyv.
The living Balchoyv.
The living Balchoyv, the Idius of Bainis, because they're entitled to Bainis. And now, Umagvule Ziburius. And now the other Tzad, meaning the Balchoyv, will take Ziburius from the assignment, because they had Ziburius, and I go and take. The go and say take back the bainis, but now if you hold bishaloi hein shaman, now the ziburi the bainis has become his idius, so they can only take the ziburius. Dinam bishal kol adam hein shaman. Even if you're going to go and say bishal kol adam, and therefore let him take back the bainis. Or ein nefroim nechsi yisoyim elam ziburius. Even though normally about choy dalach is you have to go and pay him in bainis. However, if they're collecting If you're collecting from a loiva, which are yisayimim, you only collect from ziboris, because you have rachmanis on the yisayim. Unnoi bezoi said have a very good teretz now, according to Rami Bar Choma, according to Rav Sheshes. It's taka talking about one of the tzedodim is yisayimim. The other is a regular Baal Choyf. So what happens now? The Yesoyman owned Ziburius. The Baal Choyf owns Idius of Beinanis. So the Yesoyman are first going to go and collect the Beinanis from the Baal Choyf. Now they're going to have Beinanis and Ziburius. So now you say, well, if you hold Bishel Kol Odom Hein Shaman, no, then let the other side take back the Beinanis. Right. He can take back the Beinanis because he didn't take Beinanis from Yesoyman. So he's only going to be able to take Ziburius. Oh, so that's why is there goyva? So I have the chayda good to teretz according to Rami Bar Choma, according to Rav Sheshes. So tomorrow, no, that teretz also doesn't work. Why not? Because hani mili hechad loyipatofas. Aval hechad tofas. Einoch anami the chacham said you want to collect from yisoyimim through legal procedures and through the court system. Yeah, the only thing they're going to give you is ziburis. But if you've already grabbed it, then it belongs to you since ikra din, you're entitled to go and get bein in this. Ah, here they don't have to grab. They're holding on to the Beinus because it belongs to them. So therefore, when the Baal Choyv owns Idius the Beinus, and the other tzad, the Yisoyim, only owns Ziburius, and the Yisoyim say, well, we want to take your Beinus away, you can't take your Beinus away, because that Beinus which you're going to go and take, we already toif this, we already chapped it. How do we chapped it? Because it belonged to us all along. And so therefore, we will be able to retain the Beinus after all. So even if the Yisrael take that Beinus, they'll be able to take the Beinus back. And therefore, Avuchim Matar Talamali, again, this Teretz falls short, the Teretz of Ram Bachoma, and therefore we have to come back to the original Teretz. The Gemara said, Chomesh V'Eser, and the Machloikis is, Begabi, whether Ovid Inish, the Yozov, the Yoimei, or not. With that, we've concluded this discussion. From here, it goes much smoother sailing. Zog the Mishnah. Again, we're talking about a husband and wife. And the husband and wife have now gotten married. Until now, they were Oris Varusa. And now there's Nisuin. And one of them wants to move. The question is, can either one force the other one to go and move? So first we tell us in Eretz Yisrael, there are three regions. Sholei Sharatzeth Nisuin. You have Yehuda, Eber, Yarden, V'Agol. These three regions. Ein Moitzin Me'ir, Li'ir, Mikrach, L'kach. You cannot go and force one the other. That is, the husband cannot go and force the wife, and the wife cannot go and force the husband to go mi'ir li'ir from one city to another, or from a krach to a krach. The difference between an ir and a krach, as you all know from Maseches Megillah, an ir is, of course, is a city, but a krach is a major metropolis, where Rashi says it's a mokim shvokim, and people come from all sides to go and sell their wares and to make business. In other words, the difference between like Manhattan and Brooklyn, where Manhattan is a krach, and Brooklyn is an ir. Not to put down, ir is a wonderful place, but the point is, a krach is a, you have the shvokim, and people come to Tushchoira, and it's a major marketplace. Okay. Al-Ba'isa Oretz Moitzin. Ah, so now, if you want to go from, let's say they were living until now in Yehuda, and now the husband says to the wife, I want to move now from Yehuda to Eber HaYarden, and I want to go from ir to an ir, or from a krach to a krach. To go from one region to another region, he cannot go and force the other. Of course, if she agrees, it's not a problem. But if she says, no, I want to stay here, he can't push her. If it's within Yehuda itself that I want to go from one ear to the other ear, that's not considered to be such a major imposition. It's in the same region that you can go and force. What happens within the same region? I want to go from an ear to a krach, or a krach to an ear. That you cannot go and force. The Gemara is going to ask Lechoira, why? I can understand you can't go and force from a krach to an ear. If you're used to Manhattan with the busy life and all the merchandise and all the business and everything else, and you say go to this quiet rural city, that I can understand. But why wouldn't you go and allow to go meir lekrach? Isn't that an automatic upgrade? The Gemara is going to ask that. Next. Literally, nova, of course, means climate or environment, neighborhood. Here, the Meiri says, nova ra, nova yafa really means in terms of food. Nova ra means that it was a rural community where they had a shortage of quality food. Nova yafa means a place where they had, Baruch Hashem, not only in terms of quantity, but also in terms of quality, good food available. So Meitzian Minova Rol and Ovi Yafa. If one of the two says to the other, I want to go and move from this neighbor because the food over here is of poor quality and there's a shortage all the time, I stand in line for hours, etc. Why not go to Ovi Yafa where there's plenty of food? Well, that you can go and force. But not fakert, from a place where the food is abundant and is nourishing and is good, you can't force the other side to go to another rabbi. Rishim Gamliel Oimer, af loy minova ra l'nova yafa. Even there it's no good. Nesha hanova hayafa boidik. By the fact that you can have now better food, that's going to be boidik. Boidik means that it's going to examine your intestines. We'll see what that means momentarily in the Gemara. Getting back to the beginning of the Gemara, we said that you can go and force from ear to ear and krach in the same region, but not from ear to krach and not krach to ear. Basically, mikrach le'ir to mikrach shchichi kol mili. I understand why people would want to live in the krach, because you can get any item that you can even think of. In the pre-internet days, you can go and get in any 5 and 10, or in any type of a department store, anything you want to. Yeah, get the Walgreens, or you can go and get Ichweis, not Walgreens, the Walmart, and the Costco, and all these places. You can get anything that's conceivable. The krach shchichi kol mili. Be'ir le shchichi kol mili. I don't want to go to an ear where just to even get a screwdriver, I have to look around the whole town. Nobody has that. So I prefer having a krach. I don't want to go from a krach to an ear. And let me ear the krach. My time, doesn't everybody want to live in Manhattan with a krach? No. Living in a krach is difficult. It's not easy. Now, why is it considered to be not easy? Says Rashi, and Rashi sounds like Manhattan. If you look at the third line of Rashi, Shiva's krach and kosher. Everybody lives on top of one another, especially an apartment building, literally live one on top of the other. Therefore, there's really no air to breathe. Of the air, if you live out in Brooklyn, in Muncie, in the Five Towns, or somewhere else, Yesh Ganois, people have a front lawn, and they may have an orchard which is close to their house, and they have a backyard, they have a this and a that. It's a much more pleasant type of life. Of course, some people don't want that life. They want to live dafke in the krach, where all the action is. Other people forget, I don't need all the action. I prefer having a place where it's nice and quiet, and I have some more air, and I can breathe, and blah, blah, blah. So therefore, because of people's preferences, that's why you can't go and push them here or push them there. Now yeshivas have krachim kosher. How do I know that taka? Back to the Gemara. The yeshivas krachim kosher. Shenemer, it's in the pasuk. This is a pasuk by Ezra Nechemiah that they're being oiled to the second time, to the second base midrash. For Yevorucho Am, they give a special bracha b'chol wanoshem misnadvim l'shevet b'Yishalayim. Yishalayim apparently was a krach, and therefore it was packed to capacity, everybody living one on top of the other. It was a relatively small area. And therefore, anybody that says, I volunteer to live in Yerushalayim, they give my special bracha, because yeshiva is krach and kosher. I remember I was once at a parlor meeting or whatever, and I think it was Rabbi Friend, if I'm not mistaken, or someone else who was the guest speaker, and he arrived. He was the guest speaker at that parlor meeting, and he arrived and took him a half an hour or 45 minutes to find parking space here in Manhattan. And so he said, now I have another dimension to the yeshiva's krach and kosher, having to find a parking space here in Manhattan. That's also part of the yeshiva's krach and kosher. For those that don't own cars, can't appreciate that. Right. Rav Shem Gamliel says, even from Nova Harol and Nova Yofa, from the poor food to the superior food, also no good, because it's boidik. My boidik, l'shmuli, yam shmul, shini v'ases, t'chiles chino mi'ayim. If a person is used until now to just go and eat tichvais, only fish or chicken, and all of a sudden you take him to a place where you can go and get beef, and you can go and get lamb, and you can get all types of delicacies, then he's going to go and eat a lot of it, and guess what? Then the next day he's going to be in the bathroom the whole day suffering because he ate foods to which he is not accustomed. Even though these are better foods in terms of quality and quantity, but the fact of the matter is he's not used to it. So shini vesa means any change in the type of foods that you are eating. It's similar, of course, to the word vest, which applies to anida, but that's not what we're talking about. Shini vesa means a change of atmosphere, a change of location, where now things are better. That's the beginning of chol miayin, that you can go and get sick, intestinal problems, and diarrhea, and all the rest. And the Gemara goes and brings further. Kosher of the Sefer Mensira, as we know, Sefer Mensira is one of the Sfarim HaChitzoinim.
So it's not moving from a bad to good, it's just moving altogether, really, you could say.
Well, it's a different place of a different diet.
Well, no, but it's saying any change could be deleterious.
But what you're saying makes sense, But the Meiri says that the difference between Nova Ra and Nova Yof is referring specifically to food. And here, again, you're eating better food than you're accustomed to, which is great, but unfortunately, because Nebuchadnezzar, as you know, at the end of the Second World War, the people were liberated from the concentration camps.
They died of overeating.
And many of them, for the first time, were eating real food that they hadn't eaten for months or for years.
Right.
And they started eating, and many of them never passed away because their stomachs and their intestines couldn't hold it. Anyway, it's an extreme case. But
oh, that's what it's food. What do you call it? It's a dira.
What about a dira?
You call it the nava harada.
No, you're 100%. Normally the taiches, and the article says, according to the Rambam, it's not talking about food, it's talking about, in general, the neighborhood, and the apartment building, the house where you're living. In the Chanami. Kosim Sefer Ben Sira. Ben Sira is one of those Sefer Chitzonim. What does he write? So, we're not really up to it yet, because first thing, Mora quotes from a pasuk in Mishlei, Kol Yimei Oni Roim. All the days of an Oni are poor. Frank Dimara, why are all the days? I can understand Sunday through Friday. After Shabbos and Yom Tov, they do have better delicacies on their table. They don't have the same cold black bread that they have the whole week on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They're going to go and have some. So therefore, why is Kol Yimei Oni Roim? The fact that they're having a better food on Shabbos, that could be deleterious, that could be problematic, because the whole week they're used to wearing, eating this quite stale bread. All of a sudden, even the fresh challah, their intestines are not used to it, and they can go and get diarrhea or other intestinal problems. So that's the raya that we brought to Shmuel. But now we bring Ben Sira Omer. It's not just a question of Kol Yimei Oni Roim, but even the leilois of the Oni Roim. Af leilois, why? So Shem Ben Sira, af leilois b'shval gagim gagoi, u'mimroim horim karmoi. What does that mean? It means that because this person is poor, he has the shortest house in the whole town, and therefore, if there's going to be a huge mabul, then all the rains that come on all of the roofs, they're going to fall onto his roof, because he has the shorter roof. All the others are taller buildings, so when the waters drain, they're going to drain on top of his roof. I think Morris says, since Bishval Gagam Gagoy, his gag is Bishval, it's lower than the others. The Nimtar Gagim Legagoy, the mutter that falls on the other Gagim, will drain onto his roof, and he's going to have leaks and all the problems. The Meroim Harim Karmi is referring to the fact, says Rashi, that if you want to go and buy a piece of property, flat land, of course, gets you the best price. If you have to have a piece of property on the side of a mountain or a mountaintop, that's going to be much cheaper because it's a big tircha going up and down all the time to the top of the mountain. And the problem is going to be Ume Afar Karmoy Lekrom. Although it talks about Afar, says Rashi, it's really referring to Zevel. You now put all this wonderful fertilizer on your karam. One night is going to be a rainstorm. What's going to happen? All of that fertilizer is going to fall down from your karam, which is the top of the mountain. It's going to fall down to the properties below, and it's going to fertilize them. So therefore, says Ben Sira, don't only talk about the Yemei Oniram, even when he's sleeping at night, Nebuchadnezzar's old tzitzuris, that he wakes up in the morning, that he finds leaks in his roof because of the marble that came on top of his house, and unfortunately he wasn't noyach, he didn't have a teva, so it was a big rainstorm that night, or he lost all the fertilizer from his karen that fell down below to the others. Zok the Mishnah Baikin. Now we're talking about a husband and wife, and one of them wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. And the other one says, I'm very happy here in Chutz La'aretz. So Hakel Mal Eretz Yisrael. Hakel means both the husband can go and force the wife, and the wife can go and force the husband, as well as the rest of the family, to go up to Eretz Yisrael to live. However, the other way around, if one of them wants to go and leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, if everybody agrees, okay, they agree. But if they don't agree, you can't go and force anybody to leave Eretz Yisrael. And the same thing applies to Yerushalayim. Hakam al Yerushalayim. If the young couple lives in Tel Aviv, and one of them says, I'm sick of Tel Aviv, I want to move to Yerushalayim, he or she can force the other one to come along to Yerushalayim. However, if they live in Yerushalayim and they want to move now to Tel Aviv, neither one can go and force the other one to leave. This is Echon Anoshim Yechon Anoshim, both husbands and wives. Each one of them has that right. And we're going to see in the Gemara, what does that mean in practical terms of that have the right? That if the other side says no, you can go and force a get, and depending who's the one that wants to move and who does not want to move, whether you give a ksuba or not. We'll see Mitch in the Gemara shortly. Okay, now you can really start a brand new Mishnah because this part of the Mishnah is nushtikal. Unfortunately, the marriage did not last. The original ksuba was written in Eretz Yisrael. the get took place in Eretz Yisrael, and now she says, okay, now pay me my ksuba, since everything is Eretz Yisrael, of course you pay Moshe Eretz Yisrael. But what happens in Eretz Yisrael? The gear should be kapat kaya. We start off that the chasana was in Eretz Yisrael, so the ksuba was written in Eretz Yisrael, but the get is now kapat kaya. Noislam Moshe Eretz Yisrael, you go and give Moshe Eretz Yisrael, which of course is logical, because the original place where the shtar was written, whatever amount, say, in that shtar, are the local currencies. So you have to go and pay the local currency at the time of the ksuba. Makes sense. However, the next case is going to be difficult to understand. They got married in Kapit Kai. The Gersh of Eretz Yisrael, now the get is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Why? The shtar, the ksuba, is written in Kapit Kai. So whatever currency, whatever coins are in Kapit Kai, that's what you should have to go and pay. Now, our Mishnah doesn't tell us which are more valuable, which are less valuable, but Rashi tells us. You see the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Mois Kapit Kai. Gedoilois v'shoiklis yois mishal Eretz Yisrael. Apparently they had the same shekel. However, in Eretz Yisrael, the shkolim were worth X, while in Kapit Kai, the shkolim were worth X plus, because they were larger shkolim, as you know.
And more metal.
More metal, exactly. More weight to them. So, twice, if you want to give a modern day type of situation, the document only said dollars. It didn't say which type of dollars. And what happened was, originally they got married in Canada, and therefore presumably we're talking about Canadian dollars. And now they got divorced in New York and in America, so now which one do you have to go and pay? So it says over here that, as we know, Canadian dollars at today, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but at least today, Canadian dollars are considered to be less valuable than American dollars. So, going back to the original case of it, Noos Ish Eretz Yisrael, they got married in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, in Canada, we have the cheaper dollars. V'gishu b'kapat kaya, and the get took place in America, we have the more expensive dollars. Noos Ish Eretz Yisrael. Now that makes sense, because since the Canada's where the contract took place, they meant Canadian dollars. But now this is difficult. Noos Ish b'kapat kaya, they got married in America, and therefore they're referring to American dollars. V'gishu b'kapat kaya, and after the get took place, the marshal in Canada. Noos Ish b'kapat kaya, they're going to give Canadian dollars. Why? That seems to be inconsistent, it contradicts what we just said. And the Gemara is going to ask that kasha, and the Gemara is going to go and say, Hocha mikule ksuba shanukan, because ksuba drabban. This Tanakam of the Mishnah holds ksuba is only drabban. Since it's drabban, the same rabban that instituted the din of ksuba built in a number of kulois, and one of the kulois is that if the place where they got married and the place where they're getting a get are different, then you go and give the cheaper of the two currencies. Since the original contract, the ksuba, was written kapat kaya, you gotta follow the contract. The Gemara is going to say Rav Shem Gamliel holds that ksuba is deraisa. Now the Mishnah ends off with
deraisa, so therefore,
and therefore, just like any shtar choiv is written in New York and it says dollars, we know what it means. It means American dollars. If shtar choiv is written in Canada, it says dollars, we know it means Canadian dollars. So whatever it says in that original shtar, and it says where the ksuba was written or signed or handed over, it says Canada, we know it means Canadian dollars. If it says America, we know it means American dollars.
If it's only Rabbanan, why should it be any different?
So according to Tanakama, since it's Drabanan, we always give the benefit to the husband to give the lesser of the two currencies. So if they're in the same Medina, you got married, and you get the same Medina, so then it's the same. But if they're different, then you give the lesser of the two. Contribution of Leon, no, this is a regular contract to Eretz Yisrael. Wherever they signed the ksuba originally, I don't care if you signed it in South Africa, you signed in North Pole, whatever the currency is there, that's what you have to follow.
But if Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, even if it's the Raisa, Bezdin can...
Can, but they weren't.
Okay.
So those are the Rabshim Galiyah. Now the last case of the Mishnah is just really to give you a sum total of everything, because it's very simple, that what happened, Nos Yidri Kabit Kai, V'Girsh B'Kabit Kai, Nos Kabit Kai. That's of course, just like the first case, Nos Beretz Yisrael, and V'Girsh Beretz Yisrael, you give Eretz Yisrael. Good. So, Kimar, we start off the Mishnah Hakol Malin. Everybody can force the other one. Lasuyimai, what does it come to include? L'choyr, it's not coming to include that the wife can force the husband and the husband can force the wife, because we say that two lines later. Echru anoshim, v'echru anoshim. So, what's the Hakol? Lasuyavodim, that what? That if the husband and wife have an Evet Ivri. We're not talking Evet Kanani, because Evet Kanani is like chattel. Just like I don't ask my behemoths, where do you want to live? You want to live in Eretz Yisrael? So, Lahavdil, you don't have to ask the Evet Kanani either. But Evet Ivri is a Chayid. Unfortunately, whatever he did, either because he sinned or because he stole or because Nebuchadnezzar fell in hard times, he's never going to have it, but he's the chayit. So Solka Daita Chamina, we have to go and consult with him. No. Hakol Malam, even Eved Ivri, you can schlep with you to Eretz Yisrael.
Can Eved Ivri force the Rav? And
No, only the husband and wife. Ulaman the Tony Avodim Behedja Lasuyamai. There is another girs in the Mishnah where it says Hakol Malam Eretz Yisrael Afilu Avodim. So if that's the case, so what do I need the Hakol for? Lasuyam Inova Yofel Inova Hara. What means Inova Rofin? That if I live in New York, where Baruch Hashem, you can get any type of food for at whatever price, even organic stuff, for 12 times the amount of the cost. And now you want to move to Novgorod, Yerushalayim, of course not today, but Yom Mahain, years ago, there was a shortage of food, especially quality food in Eretz Yisrael. So in Bazoi, even the other Yofa, Novgorod, I can also insist, we're moving to Eretz Yisrael, whether you like it or not. But you can't go and take from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Lasuya Mai, Lasuya Eved Sheborach Mechutz La'aretz. What happens if they had an Eved, and that Eved was originally Chutz La'aretz? He ran away to Eretz Yisrael, and now I say, I want to go and move, and I want to take my Eved along. Can I go and force the Eved? Eina Kol Mitzin, no, I cannot force the Eved to go. Tamrin Le, rather we go and tell the owner of the Eved, Zavni Hocha, V'zil, Mishem Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. Go and sell him here in Eretz Yisrael. He ran away from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. You can't be moitzi him. Okay, you don't want to live in Eretz Yisrael? Fine. Go and sell him, get your money, vizil, and then go home. Mishem Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, because we don't want to deprive the Eved Ivri from the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So, ein mitzian, you can't pull him out. Now, until now, we're talking about Hakol Malin, Eretz Yisrael, and mitzian. Now we're talking about Yerushalayim. Hakol Malin, Yerushalayim, Lasuyamai, Lasuyagem, Minova Yofa, Minova Hara. I lived until now in Tel Aviv. I had this beautiful villa, and I had a supermarket where I had any food under the sun. Now I have to go and move to Eretz Yisrael, to Mei Sharim, where things are not so plentiful and they're not so pretty. So what does the Gemara tell us? Hakol Malin Yerushalayim. If you want to go to Yerushalayim, you can force them, even if it's a poorer neighborhood and there's poorer food. However, in a kol metzian, however, you cannot go and be moitzi from Yerushalayim outwards. Lasuyamai. Lasuyamai. Filamino varo lenova yofa. If you live in a shvacha neighborhood in Yerushalayim, echweisim echshorim, where things are poor, and now he wants to go and move to Tel Aviv, to a much nicer neighborhood, no, a metzian, you cannot go and force leaving Yerushalayim to go to Tel Aviv. Now, explains Rashi, l'choy that's a dover poshit. Once I say that I can go and force one of the two spouses, can force the other spouse, to go from Tel Aviv, from Nova Yofa to Nova Ro, then of course you cannot go and force the person to go from the Nova Ro to the Nova Yofa to Tel Aviv, because once you hit Tel Aviv, then you can go and be Mala once again back to Yerushalayim. Right. It'd be like Afuchim Matar Talamuli. Right. Once I've said that you can be Mala for Nova Yofa to Nova Ro, then certainly I can't be Moitzi for Nova Ro to Nova Yofa. So Timur, you're right. By the Tanaresh, I might see it, but it's even now, I might see it. After all, we have exactly stylistic consistency. Tanarabas. Who am I, Lalas? I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to go. Koyfen Ois Lalas. You got to go. Vim Lavin, if she refuses, Taitzim Loi Ksuva. Then he can give her a get, and she doesn't give her a Ksuva because she had to go. He or Meris Lalas, I want to go up. Who am I, Lalas? I don't want to go. Koyfen Ois Lalas. We push him. Vim Lavin, he says, no, I'm not going. Now she's in the right because she has the right to force to Eretz Yisrael or to Yerushalayim. Therefore, Yoitz v'Yitzuva. He Oymeres Lotzeis. Who Oymeres Lotzeis? This is the same thing again in reverse. He Oymeres Lotzeis. I want to leave Eretz Yisrael. I want to leave Yerushalayim. Who Oymeres Lotzeis? I don't want to go. Koyfen Oysa Shloi Lotzeis. Because we said in the Mishnah Ein Moitzian. So therefore, we force her not to leave. But if she says I'm leaving, I'm out of here. Okay, Taitzei b'Yitzuva. She'll get again, but she doesn't get a Yitzuva. Fakir, two I want to leave Eretz Yisrael. V'yemeres, Shloi Lotzis, I don't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. I want to stay here. Koyfen Oysay Shloi Lotzis. Then we go and force him not to leave. She doesn't want to leave. She says, I don't want to leave. Mister, you cannot leave. Ein Moitzia. V'yem Lav, and if he says, I'm leaving anyway, fine. Yeitze Loz again. Yoitzi, he can go and give her again. V'yem Zuma, they have to give her Ksuba because she's in the right and he is in the wrong. Okay, so that was the first part of the Mishnah. So now let's go to the second part of the Mishnah with these currencies. Nasi Ish of the Gemara Gufakasha. L'choyde yir soise minei uvei. Ketani, the first case, well, Nasi Ish be'er tisra, v'yish be'kot, v'kayinu islam lois e'er tisra. You give according to the currency of the original shtar where it was written. Al basi shibuda azlinan. The word basi shibuda means the time that the ksuba was chal, when it was effective, that's when the shibud was created. and therefore you go after the currency at that time in that location. Amos Eifer. No, it's Ish Gavir. Guy, the Gavir of Eretz Yisrael. He's like Moshe Eretz Yisrael. Alma Basar Guvaina's Lina. You don't look at the time of the original Shibud, but you look now at the time of payment and the Mokum of payment because you're giving Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't make sense. Amaram Makuli Ksuba Sharukan, because of Ksuba the Rabban, and therefore the Rabban instituted Taka, the institution of Ksuba, but they built in certain courses. Reb Shem Gamliel, Oymer, no Yisrael Mois Kapit Kaya, because of Ksuba the Araisa. It's like any other Shtar Choyv. You look at the Shtar Choyv. Where was the Shtar Choyv written? It says on the bottom it was written in New York, and then you have to go and give according to the New York currency, not Canadian currency. Tan Rabban. Let's leave Ksuba for a moment and let's talk about Shtar Choyv. Amoyti Shabal Chav Chaver. Kosev boy, in the shtar itself, bavel. Although it doesn't say which currency, but it does say where we're located. So let's assume everything was shkolim in bavel and Eretz Yisrael, everywhere shkolim. So it said in the bottom of the shtar, signed here today in bavel. The magvimim boy is bavel, then you can go and collect from bavel. Here's not a ksuba situation, shtar choyv. Everybody agrees, you get according to this man shibud, where it was written. Kosev boy, Eretz Yisrael, it says this document was signed in Eretz Yisrael, magvimim boy is Eretz Yisrael. What happens if it doesn't say where the shtar was written? It just says signed on this date, but it doesn't say where. Oh, in that case, now let's see where he wants to collect. Then, since I don't know where it was written, we'll just go Basar Guvaina, wherever you're collecting. You're collecting here in New York, you get New York dollars. You're collecting in Canada, you get Canadian dollars. What happens? It said 100 kesef, I owe you 100 kesef. But doesn't say which denomination of kesef. And Rashi points out that you could be a salam, mita shekel, mita dinar, mita punjoin, mita iser. All of those are silver coins. So, in modern day terminology, as you know, years ago, silver dollars and silver quarters and silver dimes actually had silver in them. Okay, so if it says, I owe you 100 silver coins, so which silver coin are we talking about?
Dimes.
It could be dimes, it could be quarters, it could be dollars. Oh, so because of Bekesef Stam. Mashi Yirtzel Loive Magveu. Since the Yad Balashtar Ala Tachtoina, the Loive has the upper hand. Exactly.
Prove it wasn't dimes.
Right. Zog to Braisa, Mashi Enkin Miksuv. But Ksuv is different. Now, it doesn't say what Ksuv is different. Which case? Aha, which case is it? Amr B'sharisha Aresha. It's going back on the Resha. What's on the Resha? And the Resha, we said, by the Shtar Choyv. If it's written in Bavel, you collect from Bavel. If it's written in Eretz Yisrael, you collect from Moshe Eretz Yisrael. Says the Braisa, but not by Ksuba. Ksuba, you always give the smaller denominations, even though it was written in Bavel, with perhaps they have larger shkolim. And Eretz Yisrael, like Kapit Kaya. And Eretz Yisrael, they have the smaller ones. You always go after the more lenient ones. So, Gemara, it's going out. Reish lafukim and Rishim Gamliel, they have Ksuba the Raisa. Remember, Rishim Gamliel said that a ksuba and a shtar choyv are basically the same. You look at the zman hashibud or the mokum hashibud,
right.
That determines, says our braisa, no, only by shtar choyv and not by a ksuba. Kosev by kesef stam hashir to loiv and magveil. Maybe the reason why it says 100 silver is not to go and tell you 100 dimes or 100 quarters, maybe it means 100 pieces of silver. In other words, you have
ingots or shards.
Exactly, shards of silver. Person's in the silver business. He has little
scraps
of silver. Maybe that's what he means. It says 100 silver coins. Ooh. Maybe silver coins include prutai's pennies. There's no such thing as silver pennies. Pennies are always made out of nechoshes, just like our own pennies are made out of copper. They're not made out of, assuming I don't even know if they're made out of copper today, who knows? Maybe it's mostly aluminum, who knows? Anyway, turn around. Okay, from here until the end of Masechta, we're going to have fascinating gemaras about the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. So we're just going to start off today. Mitchum continue tomorrow. A person should always live in Eretz Yisrael. Even if he has to live in a city where most of them are goyim, even today in Eretz Yisrael you have all of these Arabic the towns and cities. So live in Ramallah. Of course, today it's a sakana, but if it wouldn't be a sakana, live there. And don't live in Chutz Laaretz. Why? And continue on about Philip Israel, even if you're living in New York where or Buru Park or whatever, where Roif people have
Muncie, Israel,
Muncie, exactly. Even Yerushalayim, Israel, Lakewood, all those places. What's the reason why? Should call it Dor Eretz Yisrael, doing me commission, If you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have a God, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol Gador b'chutzlot. If you live b'chutzlot, it's as if you don't have a God. Shenem, it says, Bazik Losses Lachem, Es Eretz Kenan, Leo Is Lachem Lelikim. I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kenan, Eretz Yisrael, to be there for your God. Freit Yimara, B'chol Shein Ador b'Eretz Ein Lelikim. How can you say that? I'm living here in New York, I don't have a Rabbi Nishloim, of course. If you live in Chutz Eretz, it's as if you're being Oyved Avoy Nizar. Now, how is that different? Right. After all, we said, how can you go and say if someone, a person lives in New York, he lives in Muncie, he lives in Lakewood, Kamisha Lakai? No, I don't mean that, Kamisha Lakai. What I really mean is Kilo Oyved Chav. How is that any better? Says the Marsha.
It's even worse, actually.
Marsha says, it's all Mitachov. What does that mean? In the first, when we said before, he doesn't have a God. Here we're not saying that he is an Oyved Avoy Yitzchak. It's ki'ilu Oyved Avoy Yitzchak. It's as if he's Oyved Avoy Yitzchak. If we would say, it's k'mish Oyved Avoy Yitzchak, then you'd be right. There would be no difference between Ein Le'alika and Oyved Avoy Yitzchak. But since it says over there, k'mish, it's as if a person who has no God, here it says, ki'ilu Oyved Avoy Yitzchak. So therefore, the Chav Hadimyoin already lessens it. By living in Chutzlar, it's as if you're being Oyved Avoy Yitzchak, but not Chas Hashem, that you don't have a God. By David HaMelech also. David HaMelech was running away from Shaul when they were having their Mulchama, and he had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and he had to go to Eretz Gas and to Eretz Moav. So it says in the Pasuk that David HaMelech regretted, and he was saying, oh, lamented, ki geshuni hayom, unfortunately they have thrown me out today, to being able to go and enjoy the Nachas Hashem living in Eretz Yisrael. Leimor leich avoid lehim acherim, but get out. Go to Chutz Laretz, to Moav and to Gaz, and they have to serve. Not that he was really serving Avoy Nezara. Oh, it's not Kilu. So that's what Imar said. Then anybody say, go and serve God, go and serve Avoy Nezara. Stop over here, Avoy Nezara. To be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.